Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on this Tuesday morning, and a morning in which we see some slick driving conditions. So do take care if you're headed out. We talked a bit about this last half hour, but we're still seeing down in that Estevan area, not good. In fact, a lot of the roads are closed down there thanks to, in some cases, what they would call heavy rain in the morning. And then, of course, the temperatures cooled down, froze, and made the roads slick. Snow has been falling off and on through the province as well. So take care on the highways this morning for sure. Are you a journaler? Do you take time every day to write in a journal or some sort of a diary? That's not something I've ever got into. My mom is a diehard. She has boxes of books that she journals. And my grandfather, so my mom's dad, he was a journal. He, like, every day he would write, and it would be, you know, he would use those old Gilroy notebooks, you know, the ones you could probably still buy for 29 cents. He would use those. And some days it would only be a couple of lines, but he would put in there the temperature, any, you know, big things of consequence in his life that day. And he would often like to pull them out. And 10 years down the road, he would say, "Do you know that 10 years ago today, we went to the McLeod store in Fort Capel and we bought you a baseball glove?" Like, he'd have these random things that he would like. He loved to reflect back on his journals, even if from a weather. He was a farmer, so he would like to often look back. Gosh, over the last 10 years, this day has traditionally been wet, cold, snow-filled, whatever the case may be. I've never got into it, but boy, there's lots of people who are. It's an increasing trend that we hear a lot about, and it caught my attention the other day, a little while back. I was reading through Business Insider, and I saw an article by an author by the name of Julia Pugachevsky, and it was titled, "I Tracked My Moods Every Day for 5 Years. One Habit Skyrocketed My Happiness." It was a very interesting read, and I thought, why don't we get Julia on the show? I'd love to hear more about this experience. And I'm happy to say we are connecting in New York City today with Julia Pugachevsky. Julia, thank you so much for taking our call.
Hi, Evan. Thank you so much for having me.
So the article that I read in Business Insider, can you tell me kind of what the lead up was to deciding you were going to write that article?
Yeah, so I've been journaling really since 2017, but starting in 2021, I began just tracking my moods every single day in the journal. I found it easier to do than on an app, and I felt that, you know, as a daily practice, that helped me a lot in my life. But I was curious about, you know, what the overall trends were over 5 years. You know, did I actually become happier overall? Was I more stressed, less stressed? So I thought it would be interesting to compile all that data and then, yeah, write a story about it to see if any of the takeaways could be helpful to readers as well.
I found it interesting. I mean, you really are doing data analytics. You've got graphs. It's color-coded. You color-coded your moods. So tell us what your strategy was through those 5 years.
Yeah, so it wasn't super scientific. I used 4 colors, green for happiness, orange for stress, red for anger or annoyance, and then blue for sadness. And, you know, just kind of draw these little dots, and they were varying sizes. I never intended to write a story about it. You know, looking back and especially having the diary entries, was able to sort of find, okay, a sort of a ranking system per day. And then I just sat down for a while. I mean, this took days to track every single day, and we arranged the graphs by month, and then essentially had our data analytics team formulate them into readable charts for the audience.
So what were some of the reasons why, as you were tracking this, like you said, it wasn't your intention to write a story on it. There must have been a point through this 5-year journey you thought, I think I'm learning something about myself here.
Yes, absolutely. I think what started the habit was that, you know, I tend to be someone who I'm very busy in general. I pack in my days a lot. But what I would notice was that I'd be busy, but I, at the end of the day, sometimes I just felt exhausted, and I wasn't sure if I actually enjoyed what I was doing or if I was sort of going through the motions.
Right.
And even with relationships, sometimes I'd have friendships, for example, where I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm super happy in this relationship or this friendship or what have you. So I would sort of, I just felt like having a daily sort of gut check with myself would help me understand myself better and maybe form better habits or reassess some relationships. And that proved to be absolutely correct. It's completely transformed my life.
So let's talk about how. How did that happen? What were some things that you learned through this journaling exercise about yourself, about your happiness?
Yeah, I would say the biggest, well, there are a couple of big things, but one thing was that overall the findings, like when I looked at the graph over 5 years, it more or less matched my mindset on my life. So, you know, if you go through the story, you'll see the green line for happiness is always above all the other emotions. And that is because I think because I also gratitude journal every single day, I tend to look at life as, yeah, even on a bad day, for example, I'll still be grateful for having friends to talk to or my husband to talk to, or I'll be happy that I learned something new from a difficult situation. So I think that really shaped my moods more than anything else because, and I spoke to a happiness expert, Arthur C. Brooks, who writes for The Atlantic, about this as well, and he said that we're not all biologically wired to be happy, and obviously not all of us are born in the same circumstances. So those factors can feel out of our control, but habits like gratitude journaling, for example, can shape our moods. And that is something we can control.
Right. So your journaling that you were doing, you think you said you started back, I think you said around 2017, was it gratitude journaling or was it more kind of accounting for your day-to-day life?
Originally, it was just gratitude journaling, and over the years, it's really changed where I gratitude journal now, but I'll also, and this is all just sort of things I've decided to add for myself, but I'll even track my drinking, which I've also written about before. I will write down things I feel like I did well. I'll write down people I'm thinking of or that I'm worried about. So it sort of changed over time to kind of reflect different things, but it really helps with even just seeing your progress on something or, you know, sort of trying something new and saying, okay, that didn't really stick, or, oh, actually, I thought I would hate this and I like it and I'm going to stick with it.
You know, I talked about off the start, my grandfather, who he was a farmer. And so I think a lot of people would think, well, a farmer's probably not a person who would sit down and keep a diary or a journal. But he did religious, like this was something he did for decade upon decade upon decade, and he could go back over the years and often did. Do you do that as well, Julia? Do you go back over some of your past writings to reflect on things?
A little bit. It's hard. My handwriting is atrocious. So I'm actually, it's nice. I never have to worry about anyone reading it because they can't. It's illegible to anyone who isn't me. So that's a little tricky, but it was fun to go through these past five. I hadn't looked at them since I'd written them, but it was nice to sort of see that growth even in the writing. Like, you see the growth and happiness in the chart, but even in the beginning, when I first started tracking my moods, the gratitudes were very sparse sometimes or very basic. You know, I wouldn't write very much, and now it's like I run out of space per day, you know, and I think that's been such a big change and really exciting to see.
Right. I noticed in one of the write-ups in the article, you talked about you realized through this exercise that you were thinking about happiness wrong. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I think one of the big takeaways, for example, is that I think sometimes we think of happiness as like feeling good all the time, but I actually think a lot of what makes me feel stable and happy in life, you know, actually involves challenging myself. So, for example, like a little bit of stress isn't bad at all. You know, I think we're sometimes believe that we should avoid all anxiety, avoid anything that makes us uncomfortable. But actually, a lot of the things that moments where I challenged myself to try something new. So, like, for example, training for a marathon or taking public speaking classes or even getting married. I was nervous about that, you know, because it was such a big milestone. All those things ended up increasing my happiness in the long term. But it's something I wouldn't have necessarily known had I not tracked my moods or kind of pushed myself to do more. So I would say that's something that was really important for me to learn.
Is that a takeaway, do you think, Julia, to readers of this article? So not just for you personally, but is there a takeaway for all of us who have read this article of something that we should be aware of that might help with the happiness factor in our life?
Yes, absolutely. So I would say that the stress factor for sure. You know, again, there's definitely bad types of stress out there you should try to avoid. But, you know, I think anything that sort of challenges your growth, that you're a little nervous about, I think lean into, especially as we're coming into the new year, 2026, you're setting resolutions. I would definitely put yourself out there because it's a little discomfort, but then, you know, for example, for me, my happiness would tend to peak right after the stress peaks as well. Mm-hmm. So I would say that was one takeaway. Another one that really helped for me, and I personally think would help for most people, is really reducing social media. I would say out of all the habits, I quit Instagram. I took Instagram off my phone, and I also bought a device called a Brick, which blocks certain apps. So I've been doing that for about a year, and my mood absolutely, like, just consistently went up from that habit. And I would say, you know, there's still ways to keep in contact with people. There's still ways to not feel like you're being left out. But I would say cutting that sort of mental clutter is just incredible for your mental health and overall health.
Interesting concept for sure. Julia, I really appreciate you giving us some time today. Thanks so much for taking our call.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
That's Julia Pugachevsky, who is the senior health reporter at Business Insider magazine. Her article, "I Tracked My Moods Every Day for Almost 5 Years, One Habit Skyrocketed My Happiness." And it was really just about recognizing that sometimes a little bit of stress or something that is new and takes you outside of your comfort zone really was also what she found in her journaling if she was journaling her gratitude. Do you journal? I don't. I never have. And I can't say that I don't have role models that I could have followed after, because I've mentioned my grandfather, my mom. It's definitely people in my family do. I have never gotten into it. But some people love it. Have you? Maybe it's not journaling. Maybe it's something else that you do regularly for your happiness. A daily exercise for your happiness. Could be exercise. Could be your pet. Could be a hobby. Could be, I don't know. Let me know. 1-877-332-8255. This is not a once in a, you know, every week or so in the summertime I go golfing. This is a daily habit. Do you have a daily habit that speaks to your personal happiness? 1-877-332-8255. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.